And what other favourite grounds did you have apart from King's Home?
Well, I like Bristol because you went down there and beat them. The Memorial Ground, always a famous battleground, that one. Always muddy, 99% of the time, either bone hard or muddy. And we went down there, and it was Rollitt's last game for the club, and a chap called Dave Tyler, I think a fullback, his last game for the club. And Fiddler ran with a ball from our 22 to their 22. Couldn't believe it. Everyone saw Bristol guys get full on expecting to pass. But John must have had a fit, you know, he must have had a fit of blood. Off he went, and then we could believe it. We were all following along behind. And we actually trounced him that night. I remember that very well. That was a great day. Yeah. You know, to beat the local, it's the local bragging rights. In Bristol then, Bath were good, but they weren't as good as Bristol were in those days.
Yeah.
But Bath was a tough side to beat, anyway, home or away.
Although I guess the real test came down in Wales, didn't it?
Oh, it did. My playing career, certainly. They were, you know, sort of, well, they didn't expect to lose to English sides, full stop. Mm. And when the great nights, I remember, and I'm certain the players had other nights down there as well, we went to Pontypool. And they had Jeff Squires, a chap called Hewish in the back row, a lot of very established stars in that side, all played for Wales or British Lions or some of the other, and so on and so on. And Pontypool were like the side in Wales at the time. And we went down there midweek. Some guys who I don't think had just started their careers with Gloucester, a young Mike Teague, a young John Gadd, a name but two, and Piggy White in the front row, and Dave Brooks at tight head. Myself, I played loose head that night. I can't even remember the second row. It's much like I charge him without looking at the team sheet. But we set sail, and we ended up winning. And Gloucester got trounced the week before down at Newport, and Ackham scored six tries against them. And I don't think Pontypool could believe this side comes down midweek down with players they didn't know. They looked down the team sheet. Well, we don't know this lot. They're obviously, you know, the cannon fodder. And we went down there and won. And we scored three tries, I think, and they kicked five penalties. And Bobby Windsor was running the touch, and he got sent off. It was a night and a half. It really was a night and a half.
What was he sent off for?
I think he was doubting the referee's parentage, I think. But it was a heck of a night. Yeah. I remember another night in Wales too. And
that sounds rather strange that you had a referee down in Pontypool that they objected to.
I think they liked some of the decisions, I think. But another night, we went to Swansea one night, and Phil Winnell was picked ahead of John Fiddler in the second row, and he was stuck in the snow from Ross. He couldn't get down there, down at the Gower. So Fitz was on the bench, and Fitz played. And they had a chief inspector refereeing. Anyway, they sort of got stuck into us the first few minutes. Oh, and he penalised them. Oh, we're right here, boys. Anyway, so we did the same thing back, and he penalised us back. And he was a fantastic referee. That was no argy-bargy. He wasn't a senior police officer for no reason, keeping charge of men. And anyway, Fitz had an outstanding game that night. Everyone pulled the socks up, and we ended up winning. So, yes, it was funny. I know, in adversity, we seemed to come up trumps. We were expected to do well. We didn't seem to, you know, throw it around much.
Who are the players who made a real mark on you?
I mean, opposition or players?
let's start with the ones that you really admired playing with.
Well, there was a lot of them, really. Far as the front, Mike Nichols was a tremendous competitor. Tremendous competitor. There was no way he would take a backward step for anybody.
I guess was he captain when you first played?
He was indeed, yes. Mm. He was captain. Mike Burton, a fantastic technician.
Not particularly. Let's ask, what was Mike Nichols' captaincy like?
Oh, fundamentally, you weren't expected to come second best to anybody. You know, he wouldn't himself. Mm. I remember when Keith Richardson was captain at Swansea one day, Mike Nichols severely damaged his knee. And I think he dislocated. He wouldn't leave the field. And eventually Keith Richardson had to send him from the field. When Keith was captain, he wouldn't leave the field. You know, that's what it meant for him to play for Gloucester. He was, I'm certain if you cut his veins through, you'd find red and white through there for May. He was certainly a tremendous competitor for Gloucester. Robin Carroll, another doughty Gloucester front row forward. Very strong, very mobile. We left Gloucester and went to Leicester and got capped. Mm. You know, great career with Leicester. And Mike Burton, a tremendous competitor, a very, very technical man. You know, you'll see himself, he can never do a press-up, but there wasn't many got the better of him. He was a very fit man. He used to run a lot of miles. Very proud to play for Gloucester. Boy, you know, had a great career.
Mm.
Played many, many games for Gloucester. It's the only man I know drop a goal in King's Home, I think. Or attempt to in a reverse pass from 50 yards. He really is a one-off. But a great honour for him to play for Gloucester as well. You know, it meant, yeah. meant the world to him. And so he was, you know, a great help as well. And there was, you know, the old Forest Bear sergeant, Gordon Sergeant. Yeah. You know, the Forest Fly used to come up on the twice a week, and they'd all pile out of one car. And he was, another good... Well, he played for Lydney when he was 16 against Gloucester. Yeah. I think he had a beard when he was born. And he used to kick goals as well for Lydney.
Really?
Yeah, oh yes, he'd kick goals, yeah. Definitely, Sarge. And, you know, Steve Mills, when he came along, Steve Mills was another great competitor for the club and everything else. So the honour of playing for Gloucester for him was everything. I think it was for all of us, really.
Yeah.
It was the honour of playing. And, you know, you had a tradition to keep up. And it's like in any team, when old guys drop out, another one comes in and, you know, the youngster steps up to the mark and it just moves on again. And then eventually the old one drops off, another one comes in, doesn't it? Mm. And that's the way the world is. But I think that we were lucky having that legacy left by men long before I played.
Yeah.
The legacy was there. They weren't known for taking a backward step, sometimes not very pretty, but normally, you know, pretty fair warriors.
And who were the opponents who made a mark on you, if I could put it like that?
Well, when I started my career, I think I remember playing with Fred Reid for Gloucester United down at Cardiff. We went on to the Sophia Gardens, where Cardiff played their second team game.
Mm.
We came out against this side, and I think it was Roger Beard I played against. He played for Cardiff, Captain Cardiff at one stage. Anyway, he came back from injury saying, anyway, I could tell you how many worm casts there are on Sophia Gardens. I remember, let's say, another Welsh prop, say, from Bridgend gave me a lesson, and this man from Cardiff gave me a lesson. And Fred said, the ball's coming in now, and he'd tap, and I'd go up, and the ball coming down, I'd go again. And I came off there, and I've never been the tallest of men, but I came off around 2 inches, 3 inches shorter. That was a very, very hard afternoon. But I think you've got to have those hard afternoons to go through the other times.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing for Gloucester, there was always hard opponents out there. It was never easy ones.
Yeah.
They had pride besides you playing against.
Yeah.
But it was easy playing with better players, because like any team game, you need the guys around you. And I remember Steve Boyle being a fantastic second row with John Orwin. You know, it was just like sitting in a front row and waiting to go. And PC Dibble when he played, and Alan Brin,
yeah.
You know, played with Brinny, and it was like sitting in an armchair and just wait for the hydraulic rams to work.
Yeah.
And you had, you know, I played my first time in my career, Dick Smith, who was a tremendous player for Gloucester. Unbelievable what he could do on the rugby field. And a great competitor, and the great Mickey Potter, the yellow hammer from Coney Hill. Tremendous man, tremendously strong man, and very underrated player.
He came from Coney Hill.
He did.
And he just came straight into Gloucester's side, didn't he?
Yeah.
One season he was playing with Coney Hill, the next season he played 40 games for Gloucester.
Yeah, the yellow hammer.
That's incredible.
Yeah, a really incredible man too.
I remember watching him
a few times. He was a tremendous player and a really, really nice guy. I played for Gloucester one night, midweek game. I got a kicking and got some, you know, studs in my head and so on. I was sat in the clubhouse, and in those days it wasn't quite so plush as it is now. It's more like a corporate lounge, isn't it?
Yes.
And so the beer was 3 inches from the floor and the smoke 18 inches from the ceiling. And at midweek, and my wife came, we hadn't long been married, she came to the club to pick me up. She opened the door, looked in, and there was just a sea of smoke and men's faces. And fair dues to Potts, a sign of a man he is. He saw this young girl there looking, and he went across, "My dear, what can I do for you?" And he said, "I come pick my husband up, filming. Follow me." Now, there's not many people in those days standing away at Potter. And he brought her right to me. He said, "Phil," I said, "Thank you, Mickey. I've told him this story, and that's a sign of a man he is." He didn't know who she was or what she was or anything else, so he just saw somebody there who needed a helping hand. He was the man. So that's to give you some place how he played.
Yeah.
If you're on Potts' team, you know you're in for a better time. Even where he comes from, they don't take backward steps, do they?
No, that's right. So, of all the front row players that you've seen, who would your dream front row be?
Ooh, Worldwide or Gloucester frontwide?
Well, let's take Gloucester first.
Well, obviously myself.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind playing loosehead or tight end. Because I'm lucky enough, I could do both. Probably no more as a tight end than loosehead, but I started my career at loosehead. And I finished my interim class to career at loosehead, funnily enough. But I suppose it's got to be Mickey Byrne for what he could do. And his technical ability and his ball skills and his scrummaging ability, his all-round ability there. And I suppose the greatest hooker in my era, and everybody else really, because I never played that much of my Nick, I played a bit, but Millsy could do, I think, a little bit better with Steve Mills. So that would be myself, Steve Mills and Mike Burton, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind playing loosehead to Mike Burton. Wouldn't worry me at all.
I suppose worldwide?
Worldwide, now that's a big point, isn't it? Because we live on this island in the North Sea and we think we've got them all, don't we? But there have been some great players around the world. But sometimes you only pick players out who have stood test of time for their countries, really, and in bad sides. And I think Graham Price from Wales, I think Paparambol from France, Gerard Joly, luckily I never played against him for France. Burton says he was his nemesis. He was an immense man, and there's some great South Africans gone. You know, Hannes Murray was a tremendous South African player, and all these modern era players now, they're all good players, aren't they? You know, you don't win World Cups by not doing it just willy-nilly. Like Gloucester had two World Cup winning players in Trevor Woodman and Phil Vickery.
Yeah.
There aren't many clubs can say that, is there?
Mm.
And two tremendous men in their own positions. You know, Phil's struggling a bit with injury now, but they proved the worth. They went down to New Zealand, beat New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, and World Cup. Well, you don't get much better than that, really, do you? In this modern era, I think that's got to be a fair accolade for anyone to win a World Cup, Grand Slam, Triple Crown, British Lions. I don't know if Trevor got into British Lions. I think he was injured, unfortunately, and his career was over. But to win a World Cup, there isn't many, is there?
No, that's right.
And I think they've got to... They, you know, in my era, yes, it's different. It's moved on. The game's moved on. Scrummaging is different. The laws of the game are different. You know, we used to sort of practice sort of, you know, tackling people in the air. But, you know, the kickoffs used to practice, you'd hit them in the air, put the bump on, and scrums, you'd run in, headbutt each other in 15 yards. I think the game's a better game. I think it's a safer game.
Yeah.
You're never going to eliminate, unfortunately, serious injuries. We have two players running at 20 miles an hour, you're going to get a problem sometimes, as we've seen with that small Scottish lad. Luckily, he's going to be all right, isn't he?